All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a way back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you guys are fastening your seatbelt. You're ready to come along for the ride for the next couple of hours as it's myself and Barry and Dell and I think Aaron Rabel later again, but no Nick today, but everybody else present and accounted for. What's going on, people?
What up, man? How are you?
All good. You?
Fantastic. Couldn't be better. I did my due diligence. I finished watching The Last Dance episode 2. Was not impressed. I thought episode 1 was better. I'll be honest with you. After watching it, I can't look at Scottie Pippen and not think about his hog. So that's not good.
Why? Nothing in the episode had anything to do with his penis.
Because yesterday we learned that he's got a massive hog and that Jordan was jealous of it. And now I watched episode 2 and every time I looked at him, I was like, That's all that's in. That was all that was there, Joel. It's not good.
In a lot of ways, it's not good, but okay.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't need to know that about people. Now, you know, like, for example, yesterday we also learned that news lady's husband was in the shower. And if I ever met that news lady, I'd be like, ma'am, I've seen your husband naked. That's not good. These are the things that haunt me, my nightmares. So.
Okay.
But I did watch it. I really didn't like it as much as the first episode because it wasn't about Jordan. Because it was more about Pippen. And I don't care about I wanted to watch a 10-part documentary on Jordan, not Pippen. So
yeah,
that was
I
my
think
beef
that's,
with it.
And I mentioned that before you watched either episode that I think that's one of the knocks that a lot of people have is that it's either going to be about 97-98 the entire season and Michael. But the fact that they bounce around, like right when you start getting into some of the issues, the Jerry Krause issues with Phil that last season and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like they hit the brakes and they go right back to the Carolina days with Jordan, or you know they go back to the early days of the Bulls without when they're making the move for Scottie, and I'm like, just stick with one or the other.
That's the good question. Is this a documentary about Jordan or is this a documentary about the Bulls? Because I guess you could do both, but I'm sitting down to watch a documentary on Jordan. I'm not as jazzed, no pun intended, about watching one on the Bulls and that last season. Although I think it would be interesting. I think you could condense it. You didn't need to go 10 deep, which is what we're told it is, right? 10 episodes.
Yeah. 10 total.
Yeah. So I don't know. I want a lot more MJ in this, especially after the highlights. Now, once again, they had a fantastic montage with great music behind it. For episode 1, you had I Ain't No Joke by Eric B. and Rakim with Jordan's highlights of his dunks. Episode 2, you had LL's I'm Bad with a bunch of different highlights, and that got me all pumped up. But the Scotty stuff and, you know, I don't know. I get it because I feel like this is really more about the Bulls and not Jordan, but they're making Jordan the primary focus.
But well, what's weird is that Jordan had control over the entire documentary because said
he's
that
Jordan.
Everything was up to him, and he had editorial control. Surprisingly, he didn't make any changes there, but as we talked about earlier, I was amazed that he waited this long to put this to release it because I mean this is stuff that would have been relatively pertinent sports information no matter when it was released, but I mean I'm a little perplexed by the way that they've laid it out. It's not chronological or anything like that, but obviously I'm still going to watch.
Sure. Yeah. I just there wasn't even as much intrigue, I thought, in the second episode, probably because it wasn't as much about him. So that was my take on episode two. Okay. I mean, we've really discussed this in greater detail, but you know, it's good. I just want a lot more about. I'll tell you one thing. I hope they do, and I know they're not, because this isn't a documentary on Jordan. It's about the last season, and you know, obviously, that this team was together. But I want more on Jordan and the shoes and the pop culture and his mm-hmm. impact. You see a little bit of, you get hints of it, but that's what I want. I want the details. I mean, this would be like doing, to me, this is like doing a 10-part documentary on Prince, but you're mixing in the New Power Generation and the Revolution and Sheila E. and all these other things. I just want the stuff on Prince. I don't care about that other stuff. Is that a fair?
That is fair. That's analogy? Fair. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things, and I heard the bench talking a little bit this morning about, he was like, Jordan was one of the guys, the first guys where he couldn't go anywhere without a following. And I think that's true. I think that I experienced it when we went to China with Yao in China. Like, Yao was like the Beatles. Like, we went to shoot at his first school, and they had to block the road off for a half a mile. And we were in like one of those kind of mini buses with a few of us, with my camera guy and a few of us and Yao. And I remember it was 10 deep of people on either side the entire half mile. And it was just, and they were shaking the bus when we got close. Mm. And when you think about it, that's just Yao in China. When he came back to Houston, it wasn't nearly as bad. He could still have dinner at places. He could do things. Michael couldn't go anywhere. I mean, that's the other thing I would like to get into, because people criticize him for having a real tight circle, and he was one of the first guys to have his own security guard and all that stuff. But when you think about what they had to do just to get him from point A to point B in a lot of cases, because he just couldn't go out anywhere in public without just being absolutely, you know, flocked with people. That had to be just nerve wracking sometimes.
They showed one where they were, you know, Pippen was demanding a trade, or I don't know. It was one point in the middle of the episode, and it was in the tunnel after the game, and he was surrounded by microphones, and they were just shoved in his face.
Yeah,
and you could tell they were too close. That he needed some personal space. He gave a look. He never said anything.
Yep.
But he gave a look like, you guys need to back up because you're a little too close. Now, seeing me, I would just say that. I'd be like, can y'all back up and just give me like 2 feet?
It was the same look he gave the guy in Paris who asked for an autograph.
Like, yep. Or the armband, right? Yep, remember the player on the court? Yep. That even perturbed him, you could tell.
That was part of Michael's whole thing. That's why it was weird. Like, when he was a rookie, and like I said, and I was running the visiting team locker room, it was in his first road game, he was so accommodating. He signed stuff. He was cool. And later in his career, it was like, don't ask and please don't tell. Just, you know, don't ask for an autograph and don't tell anybody I'm not signing. Just don't do it. Don't bother me.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is he hardened because of the fact – he got hardened by the fact he couldn't go anywhere or do anything without everybody at all times asking for autographs, pictures, and other things.
Yeah, and that would get old. But, you know, part of me says it's what you kind of sign up for, right? Like, true. I mean, you do know if you're going to be the greatest player on the planet, and that's your goal, because that was his goal. He wanted to be –
Think about it, Barry. It's what you talked about. It's not just being the greatest player of all time. It's being the number one most recognizable face on the planet. It's being a brand in itself, not just you as a player. There's a logo of your silhouette that will become the number one most recognizable logo worldwide. I mean, it's even Tiger Woods and all the other people you throw at it. I don't know that there's anybody that's ever going to come close to his overall well-rounded persona of popularity.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of me is like, you know, I get it. It's annoying, but part of me is like, you kind of sign up for it. Kind of like what we do. I mean, you know, we're in radio and mm-hmm. I do stand-up and TV, and you did the – so you kind of know. And by the way, I just want to point out also, I know you didn't know this and you weren't aware of this, but I'm an influencer, Joel. I don't know if you were aware – but you're in the presence of an Dale. Yeah, you're in the presence of an influencer, both of you. Congratulations. Yeah, apparently I'm an influencer. I got an email from some chick named Sarah. Now, I'm not going to give the name of the company because, you know, apparently I wield this great power as an influencer. But I get this email and she's like, hey, I don't know if you saw my previous email, but I'm following up. I work for a brand called Redacted, and I'd love to hook you up. If you're down, here's some guidelines that we're able to offer you. You get products, you get, you know, you get a discount code to give to your followers get a discount, you get a commission on sales, you get this, you get that. And it says, all you have to do is just go to the dashboard and sign up and let me know if you have any questions. So I'm like, well, what is this company? And I look, bro, it's pre-workout.
What?
I'm like, apparently Sarah didn't do her due diligence.
So, pre-workout, like what? Like a energy drink or a?
Yeah, it's a bunch of, like, you know, there's the pre-workout, there's the protein shake, there's the, it's all these, it's all the stuff, it's all the workout regimen stuff.
Is Nutter Butter?
It's a pre-workout.
Is a Nutter Butter a pre-workout? Because if that's the case, then we've got
that's
something.
What I'm seeing. See, Dale, that's what I'm saying. If you work for Zebra Cakes,
I was just gonna say, is Zebra Cakes a new pro has a new protein product?
So this is what I sent to Sarah. So she sends me email one, and I'm like, all right, well, Sarah obviously screwed up and got the wrong person. And then she follows up with me, hey, just following up, want to get you as an influencer, Barry. So I just very nicely replied and said, hey, Sarah, I'm fat, so you're barking up the wrong chubby tree. Please stop emailing me and take me off your list.
Did she respond? She could try and beg you back one more time.
Nope. No response, no email, no nothing. That was it. That was the whole – I'm like, why – come on, Sarah. You obviously didn't look at my Instagram account if you were sitting here thinking I'm an influencer. For God's sakes, I have hamburgers and snacks and Zebra Cakes all over my Instagram. Come on, lady. What are you doing? But, yeah. So apparently I wield great power in the fitness industry. I'm an influencer, guys.
Okay.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to to using that influence when we get back to regular times.
Oh, my goodness. Too funny.
So it's a – by the way, I forgot to mention, it's a Way Back Wednesday today. And so even though Nick is out, our theme today would be, what, Roger Goodell songs? Or would it be
songs that Roger Goodell would listen to?
Yeah, okay.
Songs that Roger Goodell would listen to, so it could be pre-draft, it could be whatever.
Right, so I kind of had fun with mine this time and just didn't care about who the artists were, but found some stuff, but we all found some stuff. Dell, who is first on the list?
It's got to be you, Joel.
Oh, so I'm first, and then Nick, and then Barry. I believe that's the way it goes,
correct.
Right?
That is correct.
Okay. So there you got that to look forward to. Don't ask me, because I'm telling you, this is like, it's about the title, not the artist. I think this is the Ramones.
Correct.
Yep. And the song was I Don't Want to Go Down in the Basement, since that's where he will be for the draft. So that's how we started.
That's a great first song, Joel.
Yeah. So
well done, my friend.
I think if we just go, people will figure it out. We have to find a way to post the list, because the list, we got some good titles. Pretty people will understand it.
Del can tweet it out for us, right, Del?
Nah, I'm good.
See, oh, I knew. Wow. More work for Del is not going to go over very well.
I wish we had a real producer doing today's show.
Yeah, Nick's at home.
He could produce a tweet.
Yeah, wow. Nick can do that. What's Nick doing right now? He's got the list.
What?
You don't want to know
what Nick's
doing
off
right
the
now.
Clock, bro. Well, yeah, he's probably...
He's listening, drinking
never
a beer.
Never mind. Oh,
which is also
no,
a possibility.
There's more than that.
Yeah. All right, we're just getting started. 713-780-3776. Give us a call. Give us a text. Hit us on Twitter at DellV2, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. As we continue to roll on, I have hour number one. Songs Roger Goodell would play just to kind of touch on what I was mentioning about my list. The titles alone without the artist. I don't want to go down to the basement. Don't ask me why. Bad Decisions. Cry Me a River. Before He Cheats. Makeshift Patriot. Mo Money, More Problems. Computer Love.
There you go.
Yep. And I had, boy, Barry, and you of all people can relate to this with me, but that Zapp and Roger Troutman. Oh. Underrated.
No
the
doubt.
Greatest hits of Zapp and Roger Troutman. Fantastic.
Indeed. That's high quality listening.
No, without a question. One little side bit tidbit for you from the fallout or the spin, everything that happened with Lisa yesterday, which was cool. Immediately after the show, Lisa the dog saver was in like cape and ready to go mode. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, you got the girls. And I was going to go work out and everything. I'm like, what do you mean I got the girls? She's like, okay, when she gets on one of these kicks where she gets a dog or finds out about a certain situation, it basically, besides the kids, controls her world. And she's been trying to save this pit bull for about 2 weeks where the owner was getting older and he had too much energy. But if he didn't feel like the right situation was for the dog, he was going to put it down. And Lisa got involved and ended up, they had to convince the owner, but she found there's an RV or a bus that goes from here to Seattle. And she found an owner in Seattle willing to take the dog, and they had to do all these things. It's taken about 2 weeks. So now, in order to get this process to be taken to the last step and get the dog on the bus, Lisa had to do it all. She had to drive all the way over to Katy, pick up the dog, do the paperwork, bring it back, wait in line with all the other people that have dogs to get it on this bus. And like, dude, I had the kids for like 4 hours right after doing our show. I'm like, I don't know how housewives and stuff do this. I mean, woo! But then we get home and we're doing something, and I see it, and all of a sudden she starts crying. And I'm like, are you okay, honey? I mean, because it's a big day. She goes, Joel, you got to read this. I was like, what is it? Bill Baeza took the time to send her a personal message that said how happy he was to have her on on KPRC2, that the way she goes about it, just went on and on about the professionalism, the way she does her job. It made him proud to have her be there and all this other stuff. She's like, I met him once, but I can't even believe that he would do this. And take it one step further, then one of my friends over at Channel 2 texts me, and she goes, have you seen this? And I was like, what is it? And she said, well, it's by Bill Baeza. I go, you shouldn't have seen that. It was just a personal message to Lisa. She goes, no. He also, on his own social media accounts, put like a big congratulations and welcome to Lisa. And she lost it. She was like, aww, that means so much to me. And I was like, you know what? Yesterday was a good day for us because Lisa finally found out how much people respect what she does. So it was cool.
That's great, man. I'm so happy to hear that. Good for her.
Yeah. So she's excited. I don't know if she's excited to do your podcast anymore. Excited.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun, man. The people are looking forward to it. I guarantee you.
Oh, I'm sure. I just, who knows? I think she's all worried that she's got to ask Jerry Martin, the GM of Channel 2, because they're supposed to approve those things. I was like, I don't think he's going to care, but go ahead and ask him now.
It's already scheduled, right?
Yeah.
Well, I understand. Oh, well. If she has to back out on me, I understand. If she's scared, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go that far. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I was walking the dogs this morning, too, and I was thinking about – I forget what came on before I left the house, but they were talking about championships somewhere. And I was like, does Houston get a raw deal? Because now every major championship that they won is tainted in some way. Like, you know, oh, it's because they were talking about Jordan and the whole what would have happened in the two championships the Rockets won. And I get so tired of that whole back and forth. And we're never going to be able to solve that anyway. But you've got the tarnished two titles. I don't want to say tarnished, but you've got the black cloud hanging over the scenario of the Rockets two championships with if Jordan played, would they have won? And in fact, he did play one of the years, but still. And now you've got the cheating scandal with the Astros. You obviously don't have any football titles. But it just sucks obviously. That of the major accomplishments, the highest accomplishment you can get in sports in this city, the wins are tarnished.
Yeah, they both have an asterisk on them. But I don't think the people in this city believe in that asterisk. I think nationally – You people might say that.
Right. I felt this way before I got here. And then obviously working for the organization, and I know how passionate people are. I really believe the Rockets would have won at least one, if not both of them, even if Jordan played both years. But the Astros one is tough because as much as I was a huge fan of that team, it's hard to not say – It could have had some effect on what happened. But like you said, it doesn't matter what we think locally. Nationally, the image is there, and it's never gonna go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point about the – but here's the thing, and I think Lance talked a little bit about this, or maybe it was Andy. I don't remember, but we were talking about – the Astros and the being a fan. As a fan, you don't ask for that stuff. Obviously, you want your team to win and be good without the circumstances surrounding it. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit there and try to defend it. If somebody in Chicago wants to argue with me about the Rockets and the Bulls, sure. But at the end of the day, neither of us played, so it doesn't matter. You know, the same thing with the Dodgers. And the Astros. If you want to argue with an Astros fan about the Dodgers, cool. But next time, don't lose the World Series on your home field, and then it's not an issue. So
like I said, I think you're onto something too. I think from a Houstonian standpoint, having lived through all three of the biggest moments, I just believe that the feeling that you had and the experiences that you had going through those runs. No one can ever take from you, and no matter what anybody says nationally, it won't tarnish what you went through. It just does suck because when you do have a team and you're passionate about them and you stick up for them like we've seen Astros fans all offseason stick up for their squad, mm-hmm. It sucks that nationally there's a different perception and they don't have that unabashed joy for a team winning because they all feel like this happened, that happened, or whatever, and that's tough for Houston. That kind of pissed me off this morning when I was walking the dogs. I was like, yeah, man, they don't have don't. And I also started thinking, don't give me Comets, don't give me Dynamo. I'm not getting to all that. I'm talking about major sports, and you think about the titles that have been won, all have that kind of factor to it, and that sucks.
Yeah, don't bring up the Comets championships anytime.
You want to see my rings?
No, but anytime someone starts talking championships and Houston and, you know, Houstonians feel the need to defend their sports titles and people are like, oh, well, we got six rings, you know, if it's the Cowboys or the Steelers or whatever. Inevitably, there's some Houstonian that'll be like, well, the Comets won. But they went back. No one cares about that but you, pal. Please stop talking about
that. Guys, let me tell you a little bit about Cheryl Swoops and Tina Thompson. This tank was unbelievable. The Houston Comets were going to beat whoever. We didn't cheat. I mean, yeah.
We're talking major threes, and if you're in a hockey town, major four. So that's
what, and arrows that don't count. Let me make that comment.
That too, yeah.
So I just, yeah, that's just something that popped in my head today when I was walking the dog. I want to bring up because I hate that this, I love this city, and I love the passionate fans, and I hate that they got to deal with that.
Yeah. Somebody texted and said, congrats to you and your wife, Joel. Whatever happened to Jennifer Reyna at Channel 2? Oh, you know, don't you?
I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, they could. I mean, I think Channel 2 actually had a release about it, that they couldn't come to an agreement, and they mutually agreed to part ways. And she's still in town. She's from here. But yeah. That's how I believe that's how it all went down.
Okay. There you go.
So, yeah, there's that. But look, I mean, the big thing is I think, you know, it's weird because my wife is so – she's very, very humble. She doesn't give herself any credit. She was so concerned and wanted everybody to know that, like, you know, she felt bad for the fact that she's excited about the new job. She feels bad that she's moving into a position that was occupied before her, and she had nothing to do with that. And yet what she saw was on all the social media posts was just so many people that were so like complimentary and looking forward to getting her back on the air that I was pleased that she was actually able to smile again on that. So that was
yeah, very cool.
Because there are some people. The other thing, Barry, I found out is there are some people out there. That's why it's not just limited to us on the radio. Boy, the people that use those comment sections just to wind up and woo.
I was just going through my YouTube comments on all the different videos, and this one set most. I mean, like, I'm so surprised because YouTube is the. I mean, it's just the slum of comments on the internet is the nice way to put it. But I only had one nasty comment from some dude named Anthony Gonzalez, who said I wasn't funny, and that stings. That really hurts, especially from a random stranger that I've never met. Who obviously took the time to watch it, but I'm surprised because usually YouTube is absolutely awful when it comes to comments. People are just mean. Twitter, there's more of a, you know, people say mean stuff on Twitter, but there's more of a dialogue. You can respond, you can do all those things, but YouTube, yeah. Man, people just drop in, say something awful and leave, and boy, it can be rough.
Your boy Sam Rubio on your AJ conversation. I popped in for a second. I saw, I'm the Bitcoin of announcers at ESPN. I don't even know what that means, but I'm like, okay, whatever. Have fun, Sam.
Yeah, no, it can be brutal. But again, I go back to what I said about MJ. When you do this, that's, you know, you're opening yourself up to stuff like that. So you just deal with it. Like I responded, he put, man, you really suck. On the usual suspects when you try to be funny, and you suck at comedy too. And you suck at comedy. So I just replied, you suck too, Anthony. Like I'm Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, like Bill O'Brien. There you go.
So, you know, that's how you do it.
You want to tell the peeps about a little idea you had that we'll get to in a little bit as well on that note with the being on the eve of the draft and all. We've got some NFL discussions to get to, which are pretty good.
I was thinking it'd be kind of cool. We could have three bold draft day predictions. Mm-hmm. That we think, and now these are things that when we say them, you guys are going to be like, all right, that's crazy talk. But that's why they're called bold predictions. There's a very slim possibility that they could happen, but we'll have those. And then if you had your pick, Joel, what position would you draft first with the Texans' first pick in the second round? So we can discuss what you would go with, what I would go with, and we can argue about that for a couple segments like we always
do. Sounds good. Yeah, there's a name for it. ESPN, Mike Greenberg picked up on it. He said somebody somewhere on radio in this country started doing that, and he started doing it with the guys on Get Up where there's a name, the way they describe it too, but it's like outlandish predictions that probably won't come true, and that you don't want to hear the backlash if they don't, but let's just have some fun with it. So that'll be good. So we'll get to all that on the eve of the draft. So the draft starts tomorrow night. And by the way, we are the home of the NFL draft. So make sure you're listening to 97.5 throughout Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for all that draft coverage because that's going to be around. And, of course, we'd love to have you be a part of the show. 713-780-ESPN. Call us, text us, HRNP listener line, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing because it looks like there might be some rain in the forecast. And maybe you being at home as much as you've been lately have realized that your roof needs some repairs Or maybe you need a new roof altogether, but you don't know who to call. Well, there's only one place to call in Houston. It's Fitz Roofing, because they're located right here in Houston, Texas. They're dedicated to the people of this fine city, and they take care of people across the city. They got an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, and right now is the time to call 832-521-3001. You get a free no-obligation inspection today. They come to you and tell you what they can do, and then they go away. If you want them to come back, you just get back in contact with them. But it's more important you do it now, because they have plenty of people on the job and not enough jobs to do. So if you only need minor repairs, there's a good chance they're going to do them for free just to keep their guys busy. All you got to do to find out, 832-521-3001, free no-obligation inspection. Have them come out and see what you got, and maybe they'll take care of it at no charge. It's just the way they do business. FITZRoofing.com online. But either way, get in touch with Fitz Roofing. They're going to take care of you, because Fitz Roofing makes a difference one home at a time.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's out on one of his scheduled days off. So Dell's got the first hour, and Dell, is Aaron Raybould got the last two again?
He does.
Okay, so there's our schedule for the day on a way back Wednesday. Songs Roger Goodell might play as we go pre-2010. I got hour number one. Nick has hour number two, as he did do a list. And then Barry has hour number three. So we've got a lot of stuff to kick around. Barry has got some stuff going on with the draft questions that he mentioned. And we'll have some good conversation about that and other stuff. So let's have some fun today, kids. Barry, are you there?
My bad. I had the mute on. That's all.
Good,
that's
good
my
talk.
Bad.
Glad we had it.
Yeah. I was over here going, let's do it. Let's get it. Let's turn this mother out. And I'm going, nothing. I got nothing.
There you go.
Well, my dumbass had the
microphone
on. Yeah. No. See? Who brought it up again, Joel? Who brought it up again?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to do it.
Not trying to sit here and plug my live chats every day. But I did have Randy Lemon on last night, and it was quite
he
the treat.
He told me. He sent me a message pre-show to let me know. I go, you don't think I know? You don't think that I know you're going to be on his show? You forget who brought two and two together here, Randy.
It was quite the treat. We told the story about how we met. We talked. I mean, look, there were people in the chat that was like, screw Joel and Nick, long talk time, baby. They were so pumped, man. I'm telling you. We're a small but mighty crowd of lawn talkers on this show. And they showed up in force, man. It was fun. It was hopping on the chat.
Was it?
It was fun, though.
He's got quite a following.
He does. He's obviously, I mean, he's been in the market forever. He's very popular. He's good at what he does. Great at what he does, I should say. He's one of the best in the business. And we just kicked. He told some great stories. He told a story about when he was in the same building with KLOL to kind of wrap it all up. That was, I can't repeat it because it's too dirty, but you got to go watch it. It was really cool. A lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, that's great to hear, because I'm a friend and a fan of Randy Lemon, so I don't listen to Lawn Talk because I have no interest in it, but I appreciate what he does and how long he's been in the market, and so I'm glad you guys chopped it up. That's good stuff.
Hey, so if you had your first, which one do you want to do first? Three bold predictions, or if you had the option to pick first for the Texans, what position would you draft? Which one do you want to do?
You call it, because we can do it either way. Because you know what? I even went so far as to say, three bold predictions for the Texans.
Regarding
the Texans, and three bold predictions across the league. But okay.
I just did three bold predictions on draft day. That was it. Okay. But let's do that. Let's just do the three bold predictions on draft day, and we'll you know now okay. it's It could be about the players. It could be about moves. It could be about anything. Your call. But I'll let you go first. I will take bold prediction number one.
Bold prediction number one for me regarding the draft is that the Texans will trade up into the first round.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Okay.
I like
it. I'm not saying what number, and I don't know what the hell they got left to give up, but that the Texans trade up to get into the first round.
I like it. There's I think some of the logic behind that is, if I may be so bold as to
sure.
talk for you, but because I thought about that being one of them, but is it because you know Bill O'Brien needs to save face with the fans of Houston and make a big splash and get a big name or do something positive to make this franchise better? And so moving into the first round would do that. Now he's probably going to overpay to do it, but do you think, is that why you would make that prediction?
I think part of my thinking was he's getting bashed all over for not having any draft picks and particularly no first rounders in the next 2 years. And so he does have a sensitivity button to where he gets defensive. And the best way that he can tell everybody that they suck too would be, you didn't know the plan that I had up my sleeve, which was I was all along going to trade for a draft pick. And so I traded into the first round to try and shut people up. Plus, they could really, you know, regardless of how much he says this is going to be a veteran year because it's hard to get rookies acclimated without all the offseason workouts and such, they could still use plenty of things, which we'll get to when we think about what they're going to draft, regardless of where they pick. But I think that for a couple of reasons, I could see this as being something that could surface or something that I think Texans fans would be excited depending on what they'd have to give up just to make sure that they had a first-round pick.
Okay. Well, I thought the thought that I had on this was the reason I wanted to do the bold predictions because I thought I actually believed this for a fleeting moment. And I was like, all right, well, I feel like that's crazy talk, but that would be a bold prediction to make. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe we should just do that. So mine is Tua mm-hmm. could fall out of the first round.
Oh.
That's okay. My bold prediction. And hear me out on this.
Okay.
Two reasons. We got his Wonderlic score. We realized that it was bad when he did it in college. He did it again and improved, but only slightly. Plus, you couple that with the injury scare and the injury concerns, and he's a left-handed quarterback. There hasn't been a left-handed quarterback play or start a game in the NFL in something like 4 or 5 years, which is the longest run of that kind in the modern Super Bowl era. There's not that many left-handed quarterbacks that are drafted to begin with. Most teams build around right-handed quarterbacks. That's why left tackle is so important. So all of that might
factor
into...
You shut your mouth on left-handers. I'll just let you know that right now.
All of that might factor into him falling.
I mean, I think I could see him falling. I don't know that I could see him fall out of the first round. But
remember, Joel, these are bold predictions.
I get it, and it's all valid points. So let me follow up on that. I'm going to go the opposite with you and say my second bold prediction is the Patriots are going to trade up to take Tua somewhere in the first round.
I like it.
Because we know they need a quarterback. We know that Belichick and Saban are tight, and they've been tight for a long time. And you know that, again, Bill Belichick, you know, obviously even with the Gronk move yesterday, it looks like advantage Brady in terms of who's going to succeed more once the divorce was final by getting Gronk. So maybe Belichick goes, you know what? Again, don't count me out just yet. And here's my plan for going forward in the future. I got the guy that I wanted all along. I got Tua. So that would be my second one.
Okay. I like it. So my second one is really more about a specific player and the results of his what he will be long term for somebody. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Jalen Hurts will be the next Lamar Jackson.
Interesting. Okay. Mm.
So I was looking at statistics, and there have been 4 quarterbacks in recent. Well, so he's the 4th, I guess, in recent. What's the word I'm looking for here? Recent. Not the Super Bowl era. Anyways, so Cam, Lamar Jackson, I think Tebow, and Jalen Hurts are all members of the 30-20 club. When you look at the company that he's in with that 30 touchdowns passing, 20 touchdowns rushing, that's 50 touchdowns, and he did that. And So that's my bold prediction is, you know, everybody kind of slept on Lamar Jackson because, oh, well, you know, he should be a wide receiver. He can't really pass. He's not a quarterback. He's more, you know, he's just fast and elusive. And that might be the knock on.
So you're saying he's going to start in the NFL like Lamar Jackson and be the next Lamar Jackson?
I'm just saying he could be the next Lamar Jackson, the guy that gets slept on, that nobody thinks is going to be a good quarterback. And then lo and behold, he ends up being MVP caliber.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Cool. Okay. I mean, I would say that one, even if that doesn't happen, I could see him being the next Taysom Hill.
Okay.
Just because he can throw it and he's a hell of an athlete, that some team, if they're smart, like you're saying, there's a lot of copycats in the NFL and they're going to copycat the Ravens offense and what worked for Jackson. A lot of teams also like the fact that the Saints keep defenses on their heels by bringing Taysom Hill into the game, whether it be in motion, as quarterback, as a receiver, even special teams. I think Jalen Hurts could be that kind of guy for a team that wants to try and emulate what the Saints do.
I found the little tidbit I was looking for. I'll just read you the paragraph. Oklahoma quarterback Hurts had 32 passing touchdowns and 20 rushing touchdowns in 2019. Fourth FBS player in the last 20 seasons to do that. The other three all first-round picks. And the latter two each have an NFL MVP award in their trophy case, and that's Cam and Lamar Jackson. So, wow. Tebow, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, the last 20 years, only four quarterbacks to go 30 and 20, rushing and passing and rushing touchdowns. So,
third one for me, the Dallas Cowboys trade up for a quarterback.
Yours is all trade ups. I like it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty shocking one.
I think because of everything that's up in the air with Dak, I think that they could shock the world if they traded up and went and got a quarterback, because that would keep everybody guessing and would stir up so much in terms of attention, and the media would go crazy. And Jerry Jones would probably love every bit of it. So I could see that happen. Because the other one I had was Grant Delpit from LSU is going to slide out of the first round. And, I mean, he's projected to be a first-round pick. But it's also possible that he could. So I just went with a more bold one, which is in the midst of all this Dak back and forth, that maybe the Cowboys trade up to the first round.
Okay. I like
it. Get a quarterback.
And what I find interesting is all of these are trade-ups, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to lead me to mine, because the Dolphins have three picks in the first round.
Yes. Dell's Dolphins.
Yes. They have the fifth pick. They have the 18th pick, and they have the 26th pick, thanks to the Texans. And that would lead you to believe, especially with your bold predictions of this team moves up. If you got three picks in the first round, number one, you're going to have to pay all three of them. That's going to cause salary cap concerns long term and this and that. So most likely what teams would do is trade one of those picks, move out of the first round, lower the budget for salary on your picks on draft day. You don't have to worry about all three of those contracts coming due at the same time in the future, right? So a lot of times you might use that as leverage to get deeper or better or whatever, or pick up a star now. I don't think the Dolphins trade any of those picks. That's my bold prediction. They're going to use all three first-round picks to get their team better. That's not a crazy bold, but
his bold predictions like kind of contradicts each other, because the Dolphins keep all three picks. There's no way Tua slides out of the first round. Because if they have a chance to take him at 26, they're not. He's not falling. I don't think. I'll just say that. I don't think frankly, I think they take him at 5. But if they have all three, I don't think they let a quarterback slide that far.
What if they take Jalen Hurts? Boom! Fourth bold prediction. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, the three pick thing, the Dolphins may want to tackle, and you're probably not going to get a great one at 18. So I can see picks being packaged to move up. But if they do keep him and Tua slides, I don't think he gets past 26, if it even gets that far.
Well, now remember, these bold predictions they don't all have to be related. These are in a silo. So
okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's our bold predictions heading into the draft tomorrow. Also, to mention again, the draft, NFL coverage, all on ESPN 97.5 of the draft, brought to you by Rex L. Coverage begins Thursday, 6 p.m., continues Friday at 5 p.m., Saturday at noon, and all day. Visit RexelUSA.com, RexelUSA.com, to learn more about their services, and tune in to ESPN 97.5 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for NFL draft coverage. We'll be back with more right on that same station, ESPN 97.5. Girl, I refuse. You must have me confused. Some other guy. Not like them, baby. Bridges go burn.
Now it's your turn. It's your turn to cry.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry Dell, Joel here on a Way Back Wednesday. Songs Roger Goodell might play and or listen to. You brought up an interesting topic with left-handed quarterbacks when talking about Tua. I'm trying to think of, so Michael Vick, Jim Zorn back in the day, wasn't Matt Leinart left-handed?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of.
Yes.
Like left-handed QBs that were at least decent.
Mark Brunell.
Yeah, Brunell was good.
We're going
He got him to an AFC championship game. Yeah, he had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell. They had some good years.
Okay.
But other than that, not really.
Okay.
Was Brady Quinn?
I think your guys' definition of good.
Dell,
I think y'all's definition of good might be a little loose.
I think if you look at Brunell's numbers, you're going to be surprised. Boomer was Esiason was left-handed.
Yeah, Boomer Esiason. Was Brady Quinn?
No, he was a right-handed guy. Chris Sims was left-handed.
Okay. Well, look at what that got us. And I say us left-handers. Okay, so I just that it was kind of – I was thinking about it.
Here's an interesting tidbit. Mm-hmm. Tua is projected to become the sixth left-handed QB selected in the first round, following Todd Marinovich, Cade McNown, Michael Vick, Matt Leinart, and Tim Tebow, who y'all left off the list. Ah,
well,
there's your combined NFL one loss of those five previous first round Southpaws, 83-84-1. Vic is 61-51-1.
As far as Brunell, three-time Pro Bowler, he didn't win a Super
Don't
Bowl.
Don't go lefties.
He didn't three-time Pro Bowler for Brunell. Didn't win a Super Bowl as a starter, but does have Super Bowl title. Mark Brunell was pretty good in Jacksonville. Kenny Stabler, left-hander as well.
There you go, the snake, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brunell had 1 year where he led the league in passing. That's your king.
We said good. We didn't say he was an all-timer.
Yeah, we didn't say he's a Hall of Famer.
His record that year was 9-7. This is your king. His record as a lifetime QB, 78-73.
I'll be honest with you. If Michael Vick doesn't get into all the whole dog mess, Michael Vick probably would be talking about in a different light.
Absolutely.
We had a caller that was going to talk Vic,
and I said I won't have any Mike Vick slander. So I mean, not on the field, off the field, we can slander him all day about the dog stuff.
Yeah, but
on the field,
there will be no Mike Vick dogs, slander. But on the field, if he doesn't do the dog thing, Steve Young was left-handed.
That's the king,
how do we miss Steve Young?
Yeah,
wasn't Steve Young a first round pick?
I don't know. I know
he came from the USFL, right? So I don't know if that
Steve
hurt him.
Steve Young.
Not. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, 17th overall.
Okay. And, so there you go.
I'm sorry. No, that was wrong. First round, first overall.
Okay.
The 17th overall is the weighted career average. But yeah, he was first overall, Tampa Bay Bucks. 84 NFL supplemental draft.
It was the first pick in the supplemental draft. Okay. Yeah, so there's the king, and Tua's been given that. Some people have called him Steve Young, at least when they look at him. So if that's the comparison, he's got a shot.
Yeah, I mean, and Del, you're obviously, I also look to you for a lot of college football expertise. But when I look at Tua, because he is an efficient, spends a lot of time watching college football.
You know Barry, he'll take his shots at you, he'll take his shots at me. He just takes shots. Now, you've watched him play, Dell,
as much as anybody else. I've heard Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark and what's her name on ESPN just loves her some Tua, Laura Rutledge. But the guys that have been to practice said it comes out of his hand different. Like, his velocity and the way he throws it. And I'm thinking, okay, because I know, obviously, from a receiver's perspective, it's different catching it from a lefty than a righty. The spin and what the ball does. But everybody's convinced. Certain people were comparing him to either Marino or Rodgers in terms of release and velocity. I'll wait to say that much. But I have seen him throw into some tight windows with some accuracy to say, look, I understand he's injury prone, but when he throws the football, it does look like he can put it where it needs to go.
Now, Trent Dilfer works with him, so he's the guy you're talking about as far as that quote is concerned. And he was on Ryan Russell's podcast, at least I listened to it yesterday, and he was comparing Burrow and Tua. And he said Burrow is like a Mercedes, I think he said 357, I forgot, I don't know exactly what car, but he said it was along the lines of Burrow has some of that, but you have to kind of wait. It's not an immediate thing. It's something where the car has to ramp up to get there. He said Tua's like a Maserati throwing the football. There's this quick twitch thing, and the ball just, as you said, Joel, it's just different coming out of his hand.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he is like Herbert gets all the run for having the biggest arm, but people say when Tua needs to, he can fire the ball in there. I mean, I was one of the guys, at least as a Dolph fan, wholly against the tanking thing just because I didn't want to watch a season where my team tried to lose, and they did it anyway but still found a way to win five games. If I was taking a guy, I would want Tua over everyone who's available just because the ball and the way he throws the football is just different from anyone in the draft right now. Joe Burrow had a great year, but I'm taking Tua to start my franchise, and I'll take my chances on his health.
Wow, I respect that.
Yeah, the throws that Burrow made this year were so impressive, but I think the scary part of if you had your pick, the number one overall, is that he's only done it for the 1 year or so.
Yes.
I mean, Tua
it's
seems
the Mitchell's,
to be –
Mitchell Trubisky.
Tua made one of the other quarterbacks in this draft that people are looking at have to leave and go play somewhere else. That's how good he was, because he knew he was never going to sniff the field. If you can knock off another NFL caliber quarterback in a draft and make him transfer to OU because you're that good, that's a scary thing. I mean, Burrow had to leave to go get playing time from where was he, Ohio State down to LSU. Yeah. So that would be a scary thing. What he did on the field was amazing for the year or so that he did it, but – yeah, it's a good point, Dale. People forget how good for how long Tua was.
Well, and I think you know, we saw that the last time we saw this with the one year to go on and then thrust into the first round is Trubisky, and we know how that worked out. Now, obviously, from a college perspective, in that 1 year, Burrow did more than just about anybody that's ever played quarterback in college, let alone better than Mitch Trubisky. But that would be my reservation of being of the two guys to say. You're worried about Tua being healthy, but all things considered, if you can say that he's going to be healthy, you love what he brings to the table in his resume, his multiple years, biggest stage, all that stuff. With Burrow, that would be the one knock for me is he did it for 1 year. And so for me, it's like, why didn't he get it at Ohio State? You know, what is this going to be, one of those flash in the pans? Because obviously what he did in one season last season was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I pulled up a list of left-handed quarterbacks for you guys just to complete the whole discussion. It's a top 10 list, so we'll just use it. And it's in order from 1 through 10. 1, Steve Young, Boomer Esiason, Ken Stabler, Mark Brunell, Frank
Ford.
Albert. Good old Frank Albert.
Didn't he work for ABC
Jim
as
Zorn.
A commentator?
Ugh.
Frank Albert.
Jim Zorn.
Jim Zorn's fantastic.
Mike Vick is 7th on this list. That's slander. Scott Mitchell. Bobby Douglas, Tim Tebow, and then they made 11 through 15. Sherdrick Bonner. Okay. Matt Leinart, Paul McDonald, Ali Sherman, Chris Sims, and then Cade McDowell's also on the list. So.
The fact that Chris Sims couldn't even crack the bottom of that top 10, wow. That's not so good.
Yeah, the only one on there that I don't think – did you guys mention Boomer Esiason?
Dell did, for sure.
You threw his name? Okay. All right.
So what you're saying is the last good left-hander get drafted was almost 20 years ago, so we're due. We're due for one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Do you think Tua could make that list? Do you think Tua would crack the top 10 on that list?
I think when you – now, those guys, a lot of them played in offenses.
By end of the year. By his career.
By then – but he should by the end of his career. Who did you have? He's better than – who was that number 10 again? Of course. Maybe by the end of his
– that was after Scott Mitchell and Bobby Douglas.
Wait a minute. You think he'll be better than Tim Tebow?
Yes.
Who was 10th on the list?
Yes.
17 touchdowns and 9 interceptions?
Yes.
In 3 years,
he will be.
Okay. He might do that this first year.
He won't ever have to move to like H back to stay on the field, like Tebow did.
Well, yeah, listen, you don't have to be the next Taysom Hill.
See you, man. See you in hell, Dell. Wait, now you're slandering touchdown Jesus.
Whatever,
you're going to hell.
You're taking
shots. See you there, pal.
You take your shots at Jack Easterby. I'll see. You'll be there right there with me.
That's a good point. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Dell, we appreciate you. Have a good rest of your day. Aaron Rabel comes in for Dell, and we get to hour number two of a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's all coming up next, ESPN 97.5.
Silence for firefighters were interrupted by cell phones. Who's going to make that call to increase an unknown death toll? It's the one we rally behind. He's going to...
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's dead. True.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.